Good morning, everybody.
What would you guys do if that didn't happen first? Just one of these times, if that didn't happen first. Has to happen. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to be back live with you. And looks normal, but look, I'm down in a squat because I'm holding a squat for this because I have an amazing guest leader today. I wanted to talk about an important piece of our business and our lives and give you something to take quick, fast action on today. And it's about the area of relationships. And I am lucky enough for 31 years to have been married to an amazing relationship partner. She teaches parenting coaching to people in our community. She's famous in these parts and taking her stuff online and doing a much bigger impact on the world. So she's going to talk to you about relationships today and specifically how we can decide where we are in a significant relationship and a business relationship and how we can put that to our advantage to make everything better. All right, here she is, Annie. Whoop. Teacher Annie.
Hi, everybody, all you 21-dayers. This is exciting to be here. He really doesn't let anyone into the inner sanctum of the studio.
Walk down the hallway.
So it's really an honor to be with you all today, and I want to impart some hopefully important information about improving a significant relationship, and we're going to talk about how to do that. So what I'd love you to do is to focus in, if that works, to close your eyes and take a nice deep, slow breath, one that fills your belly. And just land here with us, wherever you are, whatever time zone you're in. And what I've taken away from this mastermind is that a main reason to be here is for all of us to use those special gifts and talents to make a positive impact on the lives of other people. And sometimes this is a lot easier to do with an audience and not quite as easy with our own daily life relationships. So much of what we've been doing here has been our work, our advancement, our process, our daily activities. And where does relationship with a big R fit into our taking fast action? So today, this can be relationships with bookers or clients, of course. And even more today, I'd like you to zone in on a relationship with a partner, someone in your family, an important friend, just important folks that we have ongoing relationships with in our lives. So let's call them SPs, which stands for significant people. Imagine the SPs. The significant people in your life, parent, partner, child, relative, friend. Let someone pop into your mind right now. Now, I've been one of those SPs for Barry since 1986, and he for me. And I've had the pleasure of meeting hundreds of performers throughout our lifetime together, some who are in partnered relationships and many who live a single life focused on solo work and travel. So if we don't have the positive interactions and support in place from important people in our lives, then we limit our success. Today, we're going to take fast action on improving a significant relationship, which doesn't have to be a partner, but a relationship so that we can have holistic support in all areas of our life. Now, we may think, what is a significant relationship in our life? And why is it that some of the actions of those people help us thrive and support us, while others frustrate or drain us? And when you are capable and gifted in making positive changes, others often look to you for advice or assistance, or even are jealous of you. So sometimes if your career soars, you're going to leave significant people behind. That's often a fear that we might have. And many of the conflicts seem to be about unmet expectations or disappointment over not getting a need met. So how can you better understand those expectations and meet the needs of a significant person? So today, there are three levels that we're going to be talking about. And understanding them will bring an awareness to some pitfalls in your relationship and open your eyes on ways to support others and be supported so we can soar higher, not just in our careers, but in all areas of our life. So of these three levels, I'm going to write them down for you right over here. The magic camera zoom. I'll go into detail, but the first one, me first. This is the first level of relationship where it's me first. And the second one is me, you, trying to maintain a 50% balance. And the third is you first, and putting the needs of the other at a top place. So, got those three there. So let's talk about level one and how that might help us to understand that better. This is the level of me first, all about me, focus on self. So in our relationship, Barry and I have been through all of the three levels, but there was a point we had our son, little guy, Zed there, and I decided this was a good time to go back to grad school. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but it needed to be a lot more about me at that point. And as a very understanding and willing partner, he let me have a me first time of our relationship. And what can be really positive about the me first part of our life or in a relationship is that there are less distractions. When that focus is there, you can get a lot accomplished, and creating success can take a real front seat in your life. And it's really great if you have a partner or a friend or relationship where they understand, or they're even on the same page. When you're with a me-first focused person, they may not want too much from you. That can work great if you're both in that same place. But it's not so great at building a relationship and creating more connection. The needs of others and your care for them may go way down the list, which may negatively affect that quality of your SP relationship. Also, a bigger picture can get lost. If it's all about me, that's a very narrow place to be. Too much self-interest, we can lose that meaning and understanding of what life is for, to use our special gifts and talents to make that positive impact on the lives of other people. So that level one, me first, it's great to just understand that to begin with. I'm going to move on to level two, the me-you aspect of the relationship. I call this the 50% trade. You do this, I do that. Are we even? Looking for balance in that relationship. When our son was very small, it was hard to get adult time. So one day I might go out with friends, and the other day Barry might have some extra time to do his work. So there was a real trade going on, a feeling of each getting our needs met. And when you can meet your needs in this way, that's really positive. There might be compromise, but so many times people may feel that the compromise is close enough to what they want. So this works for many relationships, especially if both parties are agreeable and not one side hoping for a lot more. Lots of business models work this way. So it'll be interesting to pay attention over this next week of your business interactions. How much of it is a, you get this, I get that? The negatives of this can be that resentments often build, creating conflict and lessening connection, especially with a partner, if this goes on as the main level of relationship. And it can be exhausting to keep score. So think about that, the me, you part of the level of relationship. And the third one, the third level of improving significant relationships is you first, putting the other person first. And I think about this a lot in relationship with Barry. If I put a need of his before mine, it often makes a significant shift if we're having a bit of conflict or not able to connect because we're so busy. So it's amazing how this small idea of putting my partner first affects the whole. In romantic relationships, it can work wonders. Sometimes if a partner is driving you crazy, they can shift right before your eyes. So this might be as simple as bringing your partner coffee when they least expect it, or cleaning out the sink in the bathroom when they least expect it. So a negative of this is if it's unbalanced, if it's always the other partner first, that can cause such negatives as avoidance of focusing on what you need to do, maybe contribute to your stress, crazy making, time suck, or lacking fast action. because it's so easy sometimes to put too much focus on another. So how do we keep that level three healthy? Since it can be so powerful to put the other person first, you as in the other person. Well, if you understand your own limits, that's amazing, your own boundaries, because that can help you avoid undue stress and mental fatigue as a result of wanting to serve the needs of everyone. So think about your limits and boundaries. Do you have any? Have you let your partner know what your limits and boundaries are around your time, around giving needs and having your needs met? So you may need to redefine those boundaries of time and action. What are you willing to do, and how much time are you willing to give to do that? Being conscious and looking ahead at your relationships each and every day, waking up for a moment and thinking about that can be really powerful. And it's important to let others help you on your path too. Others may well be using their very own precious gifts to help you. If we relinquish certain responsibilities and try not to do everything, that gives others an opportunity to learn and grow and assist us. And there's a lot of power in that. Remember, you're part of a much larger whole. How do your actions contribute to the health of the whole relationship? So along those lines, I love the idea of time. Barry's talked about that as a great commodity. So how does time work in the you first scenario, the level three of the relationship? Because time in me first is very clear. It's a lot of time spent on self. And time in the me you is a 50% trade. It's a balance. It's trying to find that balance, even though that is not always that literal. Okay, so when working to meet our partner's needs with that element of time, remember that our significant relationships need and want some of it. How much is reasonable? How much time? Where are your boundaries, and how have you communicated them to your partner? Do you need to give in and give up something to make more relationship time? Or is it unbalanced and you need more self time? So what about the fast action? Here we go. This is the important crux of the day. So take a moment now. If you've got that pen and paper, think of a significant person, a significant relationship that you want to take to a greater level today. So what is that current level? One, me first. Two, me, you, the 50% trade. Or three, you first. Do you want to shift that level? Really think about where it's at. Do you want to shift it? How could you do that? One suggestion is, where is one need of that SP you could meet today that might surprise them? I mentioned the coffee or taking out the trash, or starting a honey-do list yourself that will make a partner happy. But it could also be making a coffee date or a phone call with someone who's been asking you for that. It could be giving in a bit more to the client, finding out how you might use some guerrilla love fair, I call it, to go even further with meeting the needs of that client. What haven't you thought of? What area of your business is going to grow when you think about these three levels and how you can work on the last one with your clients and your bookers? Okay. How am I doing, Bear?
You there?
I'm doing on time.
I don't know. How do you guys think she did? All right.
That was cool. I love that. How do you guys think she did? Oh, we didn't turn the comments on here. See, people are probably saying some nice things to you. Good morning. Hey, Annie, what a privilege. Awesome. Good to see you guys. Okay. Fast action. See, that's what I got to do. We had this idea. We went, as you know, we missed day 12. We didn't do it live, but went out to Reno, and on the way back just started talking about some ideas to how we could do this. And I said I wanted to talk more about relationships because the importance of them. So anyway, it was fun. And fast action. You know, I did not overthink this. Had I... would have gotten all confusing. Instead, I just went, Instead, I just went, how am I going to lower the camera down to your height? That was the main thing. Yeah,
I could have worn heels.
Good. So we have a great question today. And I'm excited to answer this together because we'll do this because we're coming from two very different places on this. Well, not too different, but one is certainly a more sort of warrior direct way. And then there's my way. No, I'm kidding. And then there's anyway. All right, let's play this thing. Here we go.
Hey, Barry, what's the best way to rein in our emotions when we get stressed, angry, or sad, et cetera, and the situation is completely out of our control? Thanks.
So it's a good one. And Colin, again, man, you know, I love that you send these questions in, and they often come up how we, what we're talking about today. So, and a reminder, you guys, grab the video camera. Colin's proved that we can do this and jump in. So let me just break one thing down, and then I'm going to give it over to Annie to work with this a little bit. The verb rein in instantly brings to me that there's something wrong, something I need to correct, something I need to be careful of. And what I want to offer to everybody out here, when something's out of our control, there's a real separation here between two pieces. One is the reaction, and then there's the response. And, you know, how we can look at these is, you know, they're both what happens, but one, the reaction is what happens inside of us. And that is a really healthy place for us to live out those emotions, to have the mad, glad, sad, afraid, shame, all those pieces that come up. And then we get to decide, moving to this place, that's here, that's inside. And then right here, how do we want to respond? What's this look like on the outside? What does the outside world see? How do we interact with people around it? So don't rein in this first part. This is not for reining. This is for experiencing so that it doesn't become a shadow inside of us and something that we're always bouncing everything off of. In fact, the opposite of reining it in, I would say go as deep as you can into it to really feel it and then decide, how do I want to respond to this? And that's where we go over to camera one there.
I love talking about emotions, so thank you very much for this question. I work a lot with families with children, and I help them understand that all emotions are good and not all behaviors are the best. So we are in charge of our behaviors, like Barry said, how we are going to react to something. So there are culturally acceptable emotions. It's comes deep in our parenting that many of us are conditioned to have happy emotions in order to be happy. In fact, a lot of parents do the happy dance. You may see them in the store. They don't want their child to cry, so I'll make you happy. I'll do this. What do you want? And that's pervasive in our culture. So what did we learn from that? We learned that we should probably be having some pretty good emotions or things aren't quite right. Discomfort isn't usually really something we want to keep on us. So what I suggest is to take small steps of practice to accepting all the emotions. You know, you don't start in the advanced yoga class if you've never done yoga. And so it's the same with emotions, taking small steps and awarenesses. I happen to love post-it notes. I would pop a post-it note around the house and that might say, all emotions are good, or looking at my emotions today, how can I accept my emotions? And this is an awesome time to look at what I call INE. It's not about you. How often have we been triggered by something that really had nothing to do with us? Nothing. So can we check in and say, wow, this is really someone else's emotional experience to process or to be with? It's so great to be attentive to that, to be present, to listen, to observe, to ask questions, as we stay in the place of knowing that it's not about ourselves. Ine, it's not about you. And I also love the idea that we can be accountable for any emotion that we have. We can't stop an anger snap from coming out. A thought happens, an emotion's there, it's very quick, but we can be accountable. We can say, I'm too upset to stay in the conversation right now. I'm going to take a break and let someone know when you may be able to revisit it. I can talk about this in 15 minutes, or when I cool down, or when we next talk. So it's not abandonment. Some people think that leaving the conversation might bring up feelings of abandonment in others. Nope. It's great as long as you are there and present with your ability to come back to that. And the last thing I want to say about this is I look at our emotions like a big sparklets water bottle. And sometimes they just pop out the top. And what happens in many family systems or many relationships is people shove them all the way down to the bottom of the sparklets bottle, but they are going to eke their way back up. So instead of shoving them, sometimes we can contain them, put them in a very nice, safe place, and bring them out when we're emotionally resourced, when we have a lot of time or energy to look at that emotion. I feel Barry coming in here. Come on.
7:21. You guys, thank you so much, Colin. Awesome question, man. It's a whole piece we could open up, of course. Thank you, Annie, guest presenter on our 21-day mastermind. That was awesome. I love the fast action.
Join us next time when we dish dirt on Barry.
No. All right, talk to you guys soon. Have a great day, 21. And, dig into those relationships. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.